Now, today, we're getting into this thing. I, in a sense, I enter into it with fear and trembling because we have a building project. And I don't want to make it sound like it's because of that building project, I'm thinking about this sermon, because that's not really the case. Because the case, what is the case, what it is that pushes me in this sermon is that over and over again throughout our lives as individuals, our lives as couples, families, as communities of faith, we confront times when we wonder where God is leading us. What are we supposed to do? And so we're filled with all kinds of ideas of projects that need to be done. We think if we can do this project, that will be our salvation. If we can do that thing, that will be our, if we can just get this one done, we'll be at peace. Well, the projects, they're there all the time. They're there all the time. For me, I feel like my work with Mission Network for years, I've simply said it's a big hill. And if I go to sleep and wake up, you know what? The hill's still there. So if I forget about it for a week, when I come back, the hill's still there. It's even grown, actually. And so, you know, there's only so much I can do. So it's been this years of trying to let go. For years, it was consuming me, but then for many years now, I've been able to let go in a lot of ways. So it's a struggle. The other reason I'm working on this is that the meeting that I missed back in September in Paris was at the Paris Mennonite Center. And I gave you a little bit for those who were there that time. I gave a little bit of a brief on that, on what was coming in that meeting about the Paris Mennonite Center building and the ministry and all the conversation that we needed to have. And then as I'm driving back to Williamsburg to go to the airport, I get notice that my flight was canceled. And then when I got almost to the airport, I found out that they were putting me on a flight for the following day for Monday. The meetings were going to start early Tuesday morning, and I decided, you know, I'm just not going to do this. I'm going to let it go. Well, it took till 3 days ago before I got the report on that meeting, and we're doing the follow-up a week from Thursday, the 9th of November. But what they did, I don't know if any of you do at your work SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. They'll often put them on a board like this and put S, W, O, and T. And it's a way of looking at your organizational situation. And you say, and so for me, I don't like SWOT. I prefer, what are our resources? What do we have? What are the things that need work? What are the opportunities and what are the challenges? And so I tend to use a little bit different language there. But what did they do there in Paris is they did a three unit thing where they looked at the history over the past. The ministry started back in the 50s. So they looked at the ministry from the beginning and they divided it in different years and they looked at how the ministry had evolved over the years. And then they looked at the present and they said, this is where we are. And they identified actually nine different aspects of the ministry of that place. And then when they went on, so in a sense, that's this corner. The history is something we're building on. The present is where we are right now. And then they went on, and instead of really doing opportunities, threats, they did the worst case scenario, the best case scenario. So they did two circles like this. And in those two circles, they listed things, and then they put in the middle of the two circles, that's kind of the sweet spot, you know, where things come together. And then they did another thing on our environment, and there it was our resources, our strengths, I should say, and the needs of the environment. So those were the last two categories. And so now we're building on this base in 10 days when we get together. We'll be starting, having had this work done together, where we really do a critical examination, like a positive evaluation of who we are together as Paris Mennonite Center. And so that's really what tipped the scale for me on projects, our work, God's work. Because very often, you know, our theology says that God is Lord and Master of the universe, and all things are held in God's hands. You know, something happens, we pray. Something happens that's good, we thank God for it. Something that happens that's bad, we have questions and we question God about it. So we have a theology that has God behind all things in some way, but then we also have our projects, you know? And there's a relationship as we struggle with our different projects between what's our work and what's God's work. When do we hold on? When do we let go? And so that's the context of this sermon for me. And what I in the readings, yes, they were long, but no apologies included. This one's the calf story. I need a broader pencil here, and this is the tabernacle. Okay, now, just as we talked about a little bit in the children's story, there's an order, there's a structure to what takes place in the readings here. In the first reading, it says, you know, they're out there in the wilderness, and all of a sudden they notice, what's happened to Moses? Moses is gone, you know? And so what do? Moses is gone. What are we going to do? Well, but step number one in that is what? Go to Aaron, their fearless leader. They go to their leader and they say, we don't know about Moses. What we do know is that we're lacking a God. And what does Aaron say? And where did they get that gold? They stole it from Egypt. What? It was their plunder, though. I mean, part of it. Okay. Maybe they didn't really steal those particular earrings, but the point of it was, it was superficial. Right? It wasn't the work of their hands, really, you know? It was part of their plunder, part of their stuff, you know? So they have, let's just call it a vision. They have a vision for what they need. They go to Moses with their need. And they ask Moses to help them sort out their vision, just like the teacher does, right? They say, we're wandering aimlessly here without our Moses. Moses is the one who got us all the way here. So help us out. We need a God, right? So Moses says, you know, when I look around the context here, there are a lot of golden calves. Maybe that's what we need, you know? So Moses takes in the information. He looks at the situation. Go ahead. Aaron, sorry. I wondered why those blank stares. Don't get the big guy in trouble. Yeah, sorry, Moses. I almost crossed myself. But anyway, it was Moses. It was Aaron. Aaron, the point is, it was the fearless leader. This is the problem, you know? They went to the fearless leader, Aaron, and Aaron says, okay, give me your gold. We'll make a calf. Right? So they have a vision. They think something is lacking here. And they talk to Aaron, and he says, give me your gold. And he makes a calf. And then what happens? Yeah. It's such a successful event. They're having a great time. And he says, let's keep this rolling. Right? Let's keep this rolling. We'll put it on and we'll make an altar. And now bring your animals. Let's make sacrifice. So first, the people who've been led out of Egypt by the cloud of darkness and, you know, fire, by, yeah, all this business, they're walking around the camp celebrating, holding up this god that they just finished building. And they're saying, this is our god that delivered us. When they just finished doing it. Incredible. And Aaron, fearless leader that he was, says, let's build on it. We've got enthusiasm here. We've got commitment here. Let's keep giving. So they go for an altar. And then what happens? No, you're forgetting the best part. They worshiped. They went crazy. They got drunk. And they went out of control. And that's all before Moses came down from the mountain. So they're involved in revelry. Right? So this has been such a successful event that they get totally out of control. And then Moses comes down. And then the observation is made later on in 25 that their enemies saw them and ridiculed them. So in other words, they lost their dignity before the people. Okay. Now, if we do a similar treatment on this side, on the story of the sanctuary, what happens there? Who's talking to whom? God's talking to Moses. And what does God start with? I mean, we pick up in the conversation, right? I mean, this reading there started with a description of what? Of who? The people? The artisans. So here's what's happening here is the initial vision was from God. And in the passage there, what we hear about is that God has equipped artisans to do every good work to complete the tabernacle. So the vision came from God, and the equipping an unnecessary accent. The equipping came from God, And then what about the materials? Who donated materials? The people. What kind of offerings were they? Free will offerings. So God equips the artisans, and then they're asked to give free will offerings. And then what happens? What? They got too much stuff. And then what happened? Oh my gosh, what a failure. Talk about a total failure in leadership. Good leadership says, keep bringing the offerings. Let's add on to the project. Let's make an altar. And then let's bring more stuff. Right? I'm even waiting. Hallelujah. Did I just hear? And the people said, amen. Right? I mean, that's how it works. That's how it works. You don't even get a report on the first project before three new projects have been added. And the leader says, it wasn't my idea. It was Elder Chris. Right there from the side of God. You know what? It's all Chris. This is spinning so out of control. You know? No, but it's too much stuff. And these artisans who were equipped by God with every skill necessary to do the assignment, they have the wisdom to say, this is enough. And then Moses has the wisdom to say what? And then it says, and the people were restrained, in some translations, restrained from giving any more. Because, you know, they were having such a good time doing all this weaving and so on and so forth and carving. They were pumped for the project. They were totally pumped for the project, and yet they were restrained from giving any more. That does not preach. That does not preach very well. That's why you never hear sermons from this text. I practically guarantee you that you've not had a sermon on this part of this passage. You know, you hear about the tabernacle enough, but you don't hear about the fact that these artisans were equipped. You don't hear that the free will offerings were so abundant that it was too much. And then they were restrained. And then what was the impact on the community? What was the end? Do we hear anything about the neighbors ridiculing them? No. What are they left with? Yeah. Which Moses gets back to, you know? So in other words, yeah, that's a good point. Because what they end up with is the tabernacle. And Moses is so encouraged by the project that he goes back and restores the Ten Commandments, which he has broken to pieces and made them eat the powder. Right? So, what's that? Oh, the calf. I'm sorry. He ate the calf, but he broke the Ten Commandments. I'm sorry. I jumped in my... This little space up here sometimes bounces around too many times. But anyway. Yeah. It's like Aladdin's lamp, that story. I love that line, you know. Big powers, you know, what's his name? Robin Williams. Big powers. Little tiny space in the lamp. Anyway, so the difference, the contrast in these two stories is that in the end, on this side, it ended up in revelry, where the surrounding community looked at them and did not see God, right? What they saw was something to ridicule. In this story, and see the vision, where did the vision come from? Well, it came from themselves. It came from their longing, right? They wanted a God. And even though they knew how they got to where they were, they still praised the statue that they just had made. Craziness. They said, this is the God who's delivered us. And then they brought sacrifice. And then it turned into revelry. On this side, the vision comes from God. And the equipping comes from God. You know, God says, it's my project. I'm going to give you the skilled workers to do the job. And it wasn't coerced. It was given of their free will. And when they gave of their free will, it was too much. And the workers, because they understood the work they were called to do, what did they recognize? What did they recognize? They saw when they had enough. And then they came to Moses. See, they didn't just... See, the thing I love about these workers is they didn't just say... Because there are a lot of workers who say, you know, we've got 400 extra bags of cement coming in here. I've got a few home projects. This could really help out. I've got this, or we could do this business together, make ourselves some money. So we often people, you know, we often factor in our own benefit. But here are these workers who knew where their skills came from, knew that they were doing God's project. They say, we've got more than enough. And Moses, who also recognizes his role, says, okay, we go out and we restrain people from giving anymore. Because there's already enough. And the thing that's left in the end is not that we as a community become the object of ridicule. The end is that we have a space that is for what? What is the tabernacle for? Worship, which is for God. So what is worship? When you boil it down, what is worship? It's honoring, and it's us offering ourselves. It's us re-examining our lives. But it's a space of encounter with God. And this was a mobile space, right? They could take it down, go to the next place, rebuild it, and God would meet them there. So what it showed was that the tabernacle demonstrate that God was on the road with them all along. But it gave them a place to recognize that. You see? And that place of encounter was one that was, you know, sometimes we do this, you know, horizontal relationship, vertical relationship in the cross imagery. But, you know, if we take it to the Hebrew word for peace, shalom, shalom talks about the individual reconciliation with God. Shalom talks about like peace with God, peace with our neighbor, peace within the community, right? So peace isn't limited to just me and my family. Peace isn't just limited. Peace with God is not just limited to me. It's all those layers. And the tabernacle is sort of the grounding of that. But it's a mobile grounding. it's a building that goes with us. Okay? So anyway, what's the point here? Well, the point is that, you know, we all get tired of projects, you know? And this particular building project has gone on and evolved for years, right? It's you know, there when I walk out of Pat's office, there right in front of me, it says 2006 to 2016, and there was a celebration of sorts. I don't know what all, but it's a description of that process. So there was a 10-year process of discernment and so forth about the building. And then, you know, whatever happened. And then we get, you know, a few years later, the mold problem, there's a sense in which the building has taken a weight on out of proportion to the need, right? And I'm not for or against the building. That's not what I'm asked to do here, right? What my concern is that we focus on the fact that just as the tabernacle in Israel was to represent God's presence among the people and to the neighbors, our building is the same way. It's a place where people will come and experience God's presence in their lives. They will connect with the community, the congregation, and they will connect more broadly with the community. So the modalities are the modalities. But our focus needs to be on the ministry. And if we have a passion for that ministry, if we have a passion for what God is calling us to be, God will equip us with every good thing necessary to do the work of building this space. Again, not 3 points, but I'll leave it at that. Let's pray. God of grace, mercy, and love, we are often unsure of your leading in our lives. But we take comfort in your word, comfort in the word that says that you are with us, you pitch your tent among us, and you walk with us. We take comfort even in the midst of wars like we're seeing in Israel-Palestine. We take comfort in the fact, Lord, that you are God over all things, and even though so many people are suffering, somehow you are with them. And we trust in you. And we trust also that our acts, that our actions, when they are rooted and grounded in your love, they move positively towards your peace. And so, Lord, may we be people of peace who do our work of contributing to the projects, but that we recognize and own that these projects really, Lord, come from you. and that you're there for the purpose of making your presence known throughout this space, throughout the Eastern District, throughout Virginia, and throughout to the ends of the earth. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.